This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome again to Movie Talk. Today we'll be looking at an Iranian film about the complex issues of daily life in A Hero. North and South Korean diplomats having to work together in Escape from Mogadishu, and a wide variety of Marvel superheroes in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
ولی خب شریکم پولم برداشت برای همین نتونستم قسطوی وام پرداخت بکنم
مامان
دایی اومده چرا لاغر شدی دفعه والا ما هر دفعه هم دهنگ
فکر نمی کردم اقدر طاقتت بشم
دلم برای تنگ شده
A Hero is a multitude-level drama from Iran that tells us there are no real heroes in the world, only people trying to do what they think is best. Sue Freeman's been off to the Hollywood cinema at Sumner to see this maze of moral complexities. Sue, how did you cope with A Hero?
Well, I thought that he... It starts off with him being released from prison, and he comes across as this charming, plausible guy.
Good looking,
with this lovely smile, and you think, oh, what on earth was he in prison for? And the story slowly sort of unfolds, and you get halfway through the movie and you start to think, well, he's a bit of a hapless individual, really. He seems to, you know, but everyone seems to like him and want to help him make things right. But the story just gets more and more complicated. It could happen anywhere in any country, anywhere in the world.
Yes, yes.
It's beautifully filmed. I thought it was a lovely, charming... Well, it's not charming, but it is charming.
It got you in, didn't
it? Yeah, yes, it sucked me in. I thought it was really a moving story.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an odd thing because, well, essentially, he's... In this is a debtor's prison. Well, I don't have those in many other countries anymore.
No.
So he's been locked up there because he for money he's supposed to owe to someone.
Well, it's his father-in-law. It's his father-in-law that he owes money to, and he's not even he's separated from the wife. So
wife,
the father-in-law is justifiably fairly. Annoyed with him because it's quite a bit of money that he put up for a business.
Yeah, helped him there
and he had a partner who defaulted, and this guy ended up in the debtor's prison. Oh, it's just Calamity Jane in the male version.
Yeah, but now he's got himself a 2-day leave from jail.
That's bizarre too.
To come out, get them.
Yeah.
He believes he's got access to sufficient money to pay off large part of what he owes to.
Yeah, because his girlfriend found this money. But oh my goodness!
But that is quite complex.
That is complex
because it's not money. It's gold coins.
Which
he found in a handbag, I think.
Did
he find it? She
found it. But, you know, it's, again, you know, I mean, you can't tell too much, can't talk too much about it because you're giving the whole story away. But it is.
I think it helps to explain things a little.
Do you think? I'm not sure. I think it's a really easy story to follow. He's just this, he stumbles, he's hapless.
Because you take him as a sort of 100% honest good man, which he would like to be, but to get there, I mean, he's got to get himself out of jail, and to get there, he does tell a few little fibs here.
Well, he gets everyone else,
and then gets other people to back him up.
Yeah.
They have to tell little
even
lies
the prison
too.
Authorities.
Mm.
I mean,
yes,
it's
they,
just
yeah.
It all culminates in this huge fabricated story that. Don't want to say too much because you want people to go and see it because it's well worth seeing, I think. The actor who plays the main role is just...
Yeah, a bloke called Amir Jadidi.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even using his son with that major speech impediment to make him appear more sympathetic
Yeah.
It's a little bit, you know, do you do that? No.
Yeah. But you can see he loves his son, yet on the other hand, he's using him to tell a few little fibs along the way just to back his father up and this sort of thing. And you keep on questioning all this. Is this really the same guy I'm thinking he is or who's doing what?
Mm. It's really, I think it's cleverly done.
Yeah. Well, I believe this... director, Iranian director, Asghar Farhadi, has made quite a few films, and he usually goes along the same lines, you know.
Mm.
He himself says, I believe it's important to talk about the complex issues affecting us, and that's therefore what his films are about. So this is everybody in the town, in the street, is affected in that way. And he's actually even won an Oscar back in 2011 for a film called A Separation.
Right.
And in that one, the characters try to live a good life within the boundaries of having the same religion. And but even that caused them some conflict. You could see him coming up with something like that,
but
can't you?
The wonderful thing about it too is that you're getting a glimpse into what life in Iran is like.
Yes. But
which we wouldn't otherwise know. You know, we have this preconceived idea, well, I do, about, you know, what it must be like to live in Iran. But then when you see this movie and you meet all these people involved in charity organisations and families.
There's a more Western European touch to the whole thing.
I think it's well worth going to.
You liked it.
Oh, well, I really liked it.
Yeah, but I was puzzled all the way. I mean, I felt that too. Particularly next morning when I woke up and had to sleep about it in my sleep, you know. I thought, wow, that's an amazing film.
Yes, it was. And I think it's really powerful when a movie grows on you that you're thinking about it days afterwards. That's wonderful because there's many blockbuster movies you go to. Oh, yeah, that was good. And you never give it another thought.
Yeah.
But this one, you do.
Yeah, it stays with you, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's a hero. Thank
Definitely.
You.
Definitely.
That was Sue Freeman with her views on A Hero. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9.
Allahu Akbar.
I, General Ideed of the United
Somali Congress, address the embassies of each nation.
In escape from Mogadishu, both the North and South Korean embassy staff in Somalia need to work together to escape from the North African country during the violent rebellion in 1991. Robin Munro's been off to the Lumiere cinemas to see this intense drama. Robin, all this actually happened. What did you think of the escape from Mogadishu?
Well, I didn't know anything about it until I saw the film, but it really was a very thrilling and exciting film with lots of tension and difficult problems to solve. And it starts off with the North and South Koreans, both intense rivals, using underhand methods to undermine the other and practicing subterfuge using foul means or fair. And you don't necessarily see it coming that these two are actually going to work together.
Have to work together. And, I mean, they have to form a sort of a trust between each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be easy for them, you can see that.
No, well, the South Koreans have been brought up with the idea that any North Korean can kill with their bare hands.
Ooh.
And when, at one point, the South Koreans serve the North Korean soup, they won't touch it. And it takes a little while for the South Koreans to work out that they should swap the soup and show that it isn't poisoned.
Yes. No, it's. I mean, this is quite sad. And then I sort of wondered, what are these? This is set in North Africa. And what are all these Koreans doing there? They're both North and two separate countries now. But it is sort of explained at the start that at that time, that's the early 1990s, that the The North Koreans, in particular, oh, well, both, because they're separated now, wanted to get into the United Nations, wasn't it?
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And to do this, they have to get a lot of other countries to vote. And there's lots of countries in Africa, so they went down there.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Set themselves up from being nice to people so that they would vote for them at the United Nations if it come to that. So that's what it's all about, why they're there.
Mm.
But then once they are there, at first it seems quite a comfortable, pleasant place, but then there's local rebellion starts, and it's violent. That's astonishing filmmaking by a Korean director.
Mm.
Absolutely. I mean, in so many ways, the filmmaking in that film is excellent. It's first-class stuff.
It keeps you on the edge of your seat, and, you know, they confront such horrors as, young children armed with machine guns pointing at them.
Yeah.
And there are some children in the Korean group, and they understand that the way to play with other children who point guns at you is to play dead. And eventually all the adults in one group on the street do this. And then these kids start firing and they realise just how close to death they were.
Yes. Oh, no, you get all of this sort of thing. But then in other ways, too, this is a highly active sort of a film. Even car chases in it. I mean, they're just as good, if not better, than the action scenes that you see in American movies.
Oh, absolutely, yes, yes.
You know, they're sort of really this fella really knows how to lay it on. That's full-class entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But then underneath or within all of this, there is quite an interesting, fascinating, true story about these people living under extremely difficult conditions, having to get, if they want to get out of Somalia.
Alive.
Alive, yeah. How are they going to do it? Who can they find to help them get out? And possibly it's best if they work together on this.
Yes.
And, but how do they, can they do that? Can they
They use lots of interesting ideas. I mean, one of the reasons the film is worth seeing is for a very novel way in which they armour their cars.
What was that?
Well, I shouldn't reveal it, really. Because,
go on, no, tell me.
Well, they have to get from, they're all taking shelter in the South Korean embassy, and they've got four cars, but they know that it's going to be a real gauntlet to get through the streets. And they know that the bullets will just pass through when these cars are all packed with people. They will pass through. And the North Korean ambassador says, "Have you got a lot of books?" And they end up taping the books on the outside of the cars.
Oh, yes.
And that protects them. And it's an interesting...
Books, yeah.
I don't know how much that's true, but it certainly adds something to the chase. And it's a little bit unusual in terms of action movies, again, based on reality. But, of course, in action movies, usually the heroes have their own guns and give their foes everything they can. But these people are diplomats and they can't shoot back. So it adds many twists to the... way that they, we won't tell them if they quite get out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, but the violence in those streets, as you say, even young people shooting guns at each other. This is a war amongst the Somalian people themselves or anybody else who happens to walk down the street.
Complete breakdown of government. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we both commented on the fact that the scenes of the violence, the sort of war, violent rebellion scenes, they reminded us very much of another war that's going on at the moment. They looked very similar to some of the sequences.
Yes.
Actually, it was
exactly.
Quite disturbing. That.
And, yeah.
So this is an extremely successful film to me. And we seem to be getting a lot of this one. What's that other one that's just coming back again next week? The one is in Sicily with the
The Operation Mincemeat.
Operation Mincemeat. Yeah, your favourite film. So we're getting a lot of these films about...
odd historical events, but perhaps
violence,
with a bit of a new twist.
Historical events,
yes.
Yeah, surprising stuff. So to me, this is just a really excellent sort of a movie. The director of this film is a Korean bloke, Seung Wan Ryu, and he has made other sort of films along these lines. He made one a few years ago called the, in 2017, he made the Battleship Islander, for which I believe he did also, won quite a few awards for that. And you get all of this sort of stuff coming out from him. So,
Great movie.
Okay, thank you. That was Robin Munro helping me with Escape from Mogadishu. I'd like to thank the sponsor of the show, the Harcourt's Grenadier Accommodation Centre, which is now located at 98 Morehouse Avenue. If you're looking for a place to live, check out the Harcourt's Accommodation Centre website, assetmanagers.co.nz. That address again, assetmanagers.co.nz.
Every night, I dream the same dream. The nightmare begins. I did what I had to do to protect our world.
You cannot control everything, Strange.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness takes us into a multitude of realities where a wide variety of Marvel superheroes combat a threat to humanity. Carolyn Brown's been off to the Hollywood cinemas at Sumner to see this highly creative fantasy adventure, which is filled with computer-generated sequences. Carolyn, you've been following all the Marvel movies of recent years. What did you think of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
Oh, it's another step up for them. They just keep on slight adapting every film to just pander to their audience, I guess. It's definitely a very good film. Very confusing if you haven't seen any of the other Marvel films. I would have to say that you do need a kind of an inside knowledge of what's going on. And particularly with Disney, with their new streaming service, because WandaVision, Wanda, she features, her backstory features very much in this film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. But I mean, it's weird at the moment. First of all, I'm just thinking of the title of the film.
Yes.
So these long titles, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And we've had a lot of others. There's Everything Everywhere All at Once, which was also set in the multiverses. Mm-hmm. And Doctor Strange in the Multiverse, this one. And then there's The Unbreakable Weight of Massive Talent and Fantastic Beasts and the Secrets of Dumbledore and so on. On and on they go. But the whole point is that there have been we've had three films recently in the last couple of years with that multiverse idea.
Yeah, some would think it's almost a conspiracy to get us used to the metaverse, which may well be is becoming a reality in terms of the internet. But yes, no, the multiverse is a very much a hot thing at the moment to explore. And it began way back with Ant-Man. He was one of the first ones to go into, another world kind of thing.
So, I think the filmmakers are deliberately doing this because they could make up any
crazy idea. Yep.
And put it in this film, and they say, come on, that's stupid, that can't happen on Earth. They say, it's not happening here, it's happening in a multiverse, Earth.
It's not even fantasy that's doing it. I mean, Sliding Doors, 20-something years ago, was about an alternative reality just by mapping. Mm-hmm. So it isn't a new concept, but definitely Marvel are making the
most
of it.
But they are using it, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, and then this film, it goes to the extremes. And the only concern I had with this film is that the violence is starting to become more demonstrated in terms of breaking of necks and stuff like that. The physical, what happens to someone when they're hurt, is kind of being showcased in these films, which is quite scary for the young audience. It's much louder. It's much more in your face. But it's also, it could be giving more children nightmares. I don't know. It could. Yeah, Wanda was pretty damn scary. It was very scary in this film to a younger audience. But then again, Marvel might be moving up in age.
Yeah. Can you explain, this is something that is does help a lot, is if you, like yourself, is a fan of the Marvel movies, because you know the background to the characters when they pop up.
Yeah.
And
some of the ones in this film were new to me, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, but well, what about that main woman in it?
Wanda.
Yeah, Wanda, and she's also known as Wanda Maximoff, and also as the Scarlet Witch, played
by... Yeah, which make a very long movie title if it was Doctor Strange and Wanda Vision, Wanda and Scarlet Witch.
But because when she's on screen, she dominates.
She is. And
she's absolutely terrific like that.
Yeah, and that's totally down to the actress as well. She is amazing in this film and in any film that she's in.
So where does she actually come from in past movies?
So basically she goes right back to Iron Man and the Age of Ultron. And in which she was kind of, some would call her inhuman, some would call her an experiment of Hydra. She had telekinetic abilities, so she was able to alter people's reality in their heads. And so she begins way back in there, and then she becomes a superhero. But then in WandaVision, which if you only follow the movies, you won't know what happens to her. She, after losing Vision, after he dies in I can't remember the name of the movie right now. And the last big, where all the Avengers were together in that film, she loses her partner, and she her grief creates another world for her. And that's Disney's WandaVision. And in this film, it's dealing with the consequences of that. She's still in her very dark stage, but it's also dealing with the consequences of Doctor Strange and what he did in the last Spider-Man movie. So, yeah.
Yeah, because, well, that's it. I mean, in that last Spider-Man movie, he goes off and meets, I think, three different Spider-Men from different universes.
He does, but he also alters reality. He also interferes with magical laws and everything like that and casts a bad spell. And so it's quite funny because in this movie she points that out to him. She says, when I do something bad, I'm declared a villain, but when you do something bad, it's kind of an oopsie kind of a thing.
And I mean, the film is in that sort of high impact, a creative way of filmmaking right from the start.
The time goes very quickly.
With this film, you know, right at the start there, close to the start, he becomes involved with that teenage girl with a great name called America.
She's another Marvel superhero, but in another comic book series.
Oh, I see.
So Marvel was bringing in all these different comic book story heroes and heroines from their very vast range of characters. Which is great. It's awesome.
Yeah. She's a 6 year played by Xochitl Gomez.
Yes.
Yeah. And and she's quite terrific while she's on.
She is. And she's no shrinking violet. She doesn't require rescuing, basically. Which is awesome.
Yeah, well, she's there to help them, I suppose. But, this is a huge... massive production, and as such, great entertainment.
Absolutely.
And it's a wonderful next step, the way these Marvel movies are going down.
They are. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Good. Thank you. That was Carolyn Brown with her views on Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And I'm Hans Petrovic, inviting you to listen to Movie Talk again on Plains FM 96.9 at midday next Wednesday. This program will also be repeated at midday on Saturday, and you can listen to podcasts of earlier episodes on the Plains FM website. That's plainsfm.org.nz.